mech fans around the world, and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 38, and we'll be talking about episode 38 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Char and Sayla, in which we learn a lot of dank backstory. Moe agare, and take it away. I also don't know what you're talking about. Hello, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where we do Gundam things to each other.
Thank you so much. I didn't know how to get out of that conversation.
That's how. The escape button is start the podcast, you see.
Thank you.
It's the most genius plan. If all of your social interactions are framed around having to do something on recording, you can instantly segue out of anything you're uncomfortable with. Instantly.
Instantly.
That's why every single conversation I've ever had is recorded. All of them.
Shit.
Every single one. Yeah. The government knows everything.
Sound the fucking alarm. Blah, 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 air horns. Shit happens this episode.
A lot of Buzzles. Shit happens this episode, yeah. It contains some major plot elements that I've been waiting for you to find out for how many, what episode? 38 episodes.
A billion. One billion episodes.
All 38 episodes.
real quick. I've noticed something, or I thought I noticed something. Maybe I was just, you know, broken. This episode or something, but I noticed that it did it look like some people, notably Bright was the one I noticed it on the most, but sometimes Sayla got kind of a glow up this episode.
Yeah,
like they're animated a little better.
I was actually in the process of checking that because I was pretty sure this is what you were going to bring up. Yeah, it seems like the Bishi animation director is on duty right now.
This episode
has a lot of big eyes, small mouth.
I definitely noticed it with Bright first because I was like, oh, now that is dead. I guess they're like trying to make Bright more handsome for Mirai, and then I noticed it with Sayla too, and I kind of noticed it with Amuro at one point too, and I was like, well, maybe it's just everybody. Maybe they're like, what if these people were attractive?
Mm-hmm. Everyone's drawn real pretty this episode again, which especially for Bright's kind of weird since he has the tiny dead fish eyes. Dead fish eyes is the wrong likeness. The tiny bead eyes that are just a little dot.
My favorite kind of eyes to draw because I don't end up... I always end up making people look cross-eyed if I give them pupils, and I hate it.
it's the perfect plan.
It's one of my weaknesses.
Just the full pupil shtick.
Yep. Just your eye as a pupil. Have fun.
Yep.
After this, Fuzzy.
Yeah?
After this episode, there are 5 episodes left until Zeta.
I thought you were about to, like, invite me to something, and I'm like, this is short notice and on air. Why are you doing this?
After this episode, right now, would you like to come to my house and give me a hug and let me cry on your shoulder?
That is 4 hours, and...
I will be asleep, and you will have to wait for me to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I'll take a rain check, but thank you.
Cool. 5 episodes left!
5 episodes left, yes.
We're getting there!
We are zooming towards the finish, and so much fucking shit happens in these last 5 episodes. I really kinda wish that the last 5 episodes were an entire other season of content, because they kind of just... They pull out so much shit in this episode and the next 5. The last 6 episodes of Gundam are the best part of Gundam.
The frustrating part about it, there's very good stuff along the way to get mm-hmm. here, but none of it is like, you can tell we're getting to the plot they wanted to tell.
Yeah, this is the
stuff
meat.
This is stuff they wanted to tell this whole time. So we had, what, I'll be gracious and give them last episode too. So they had 36 episodes of foreplay, and then they put the dick in, or, you know, whatever your climax situation is. They started going for it, like, at episode 37.
Yeah, basically. It's like,
okay, now we're gonna take our pants off.
Take our pants off.
Which is good, you know, I guess it's fine. Like, they wanted to butter us up and, like show us they love us for a little while before they got what they wanted.
I guess.
Tell me I was a generous lover, is what I'm saying.
You are quickly losing me.
I'm so tired.
Oh, God.
Anyways, they just put all... Like, you can tell... Sorry, go ahead.
I was desperately attempting to find... Yeah, it is the other Bishi episodes. This particular animation director, Shigenobu Nagasaki, those other episodes we mentioned... Wow, everyone looks really pretty this episode. It's the same person. It's the same person every time. I'm not even kidding. It's the seven episodes are 1, 4, 11, 20, 25, 32, 38.
Yeah, this person was like, okay, but what if these weren't trolls?
Yeah, and what if everyone was kind of pretty?
What if their eyes went the right direction?
What if everyone had huge eyes and huge eyelashes
Yes, but
time?
also, what if no one was melting?
What if no one was melting?
Okay, hold on. There's still one person melting, but he's a Zeon general who doesn't matter.
So. There's another guy melting in this too, except it's not a guy, it's a robot. Gundam does not look great this episode.
Gundam's
real
off
model this episode.
There's a point where Gundam just looks like we have a friend named Brayden who draws very beefy boy characters.
Mm-hmm.
But he draws them like these massive muscle bound monstrosities with itty bitty tiny heads. And it looks like Brayden drew Gundam for a few frames this episode.
This is a very specific in joke, but yeah, accurate though. It does look like Utini.
They should know Brayden.
Not everyone who listens to this podcast is in the circle of people we know. Right,
yeah,
Brayden
but a lot of
also
them have watched
hosts
your
a
other,
podcast
yeah.
that I'm on. Right, I briefly forgot about that social connection too. Also, yes. Wow.
Anyways, if you do happen to know Brayden, ask him about his beef boys.
Ask him about Utini in particular, a.k.a. that time he made a Jawa 6.5 feet tall.
He was not a fucking Jawa.
That was
not a Jawa.
That was the world's tallest and beefiest Jawa.
Nope. It was not a Jawa.
If I got away with an entire character based on essentially being Bird Machomp, but sexy...
Alright, look, Janos motherfucking Gunstar was a national hero, and I won't have you fucking talking shit about him.
He was, indeed, yes. Fun fact, that's one of the places Chris and I became bigger friends is a game he ran, where I played a Basilisk, which, if you remember, that was episode 2, right? Where the Basilisk died.
Yeah.
Remember
Obi-Wan
that...
Obi-Wan goes to the Basilisk diner.
Yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi in episode 2 goes to that diner where the chef is this four-armed dude with a ridge head who looks vaguely Krogan, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Imagine that species, but way sexier.
But like,
I played
a Chippendales dancer.
But a Chippendales dancer. That's what I had played. It was great.
I think, like, almost every session you had him walking around in a towel and
yes.
oil.
Every.
Basic.
I've never said oil. That is entirely something you put on him, but it's accurate.
Yeah, with my hands.
Regularly.
Lovingly.
Thoroughly.
So
we haven't gotten into the actual episode yet.
Okay, so last episode, I apparently was not paying attention to, because, or they made new animations for. There also wasn't, like, a proper last time on this time.
No, they immediately segue into setup for this episode, where it's an immediate, like, we literally pick up the second last episode ended.
Yeah.
Like, in fact, we go back a little bit, and there's overlap between the two episodes. That's how tight this experience is.
And I would, so y'all know the like, if the apparently Zeon and Federation both believe the other side have the problem of, like, if we don't move, they can't see us.
I guess.
So they're both just, like standing, like, ships are standing, like, in space, just kind of hanging out, and they're like, whoever makes the first move is going to be at a disadvantage, so we're just going to stay completely
still. Think that is how radar works, but I'm not sure.
I know, it's just funny to me. But,
they're
just posting there looking at each other, not really looking.
Like, just knowing the vague position and just being like, I'm not fucking moving until you're fucking moving. No, I'm not fucking moving until you're fucking moving. Back and forth forever.
Right, so they're in the Texas zone.
Sorry. Yes, yeah. So, remember, last time, shit exploded. Honestly, really, you should have skipped last week and been like, oh shit, I haven't listened for 2 weeks in a row. And then listened to both last week and this week in a row. That's probably the best way you could have done this. Because we have to get right to it. Shit exploded, yeah. Mikuve died, fucking Char protected Lala by squatting the Gelgoog over her, Amuro's fine. Shit happened.
Well, Amuro's quote-unquote fine.
Physically healthy. He's not emotionally distant presently. Also, something I really quickly want to remind me to talk about the novelization at the end of this episode, because shit gets weird when you shit gets recontextualized with that. So I want to talk about that.
I will make a note.
Cool. This episode, Char and Sailor.
Yeah, and Amuro is like, ooh, Lala's out there. So he knows Char is still somewhere out in the wild, but can't sense him.
Yep.
But does know that Lala is there.
Which is an important thing you should keep in mind for the rest of your UC Gundam experience.
I don't wanna...
Well, no, really, the thing to keep in mind here is, okay, so... Lala and Amuro can feel each other, right?
Yeah.
Char cannot feel either of them, right?
Yeah, so Char is obviously less of a new type, or not a new type at all.
Ding, ding, ding. Less. Like, it's pretty clear he's a new type. Lala mentions it, not directly, because that's her shtick, right? She doesn't speak directly. She does offhandedly mention being able to feel Char and tell that he's special.
Yeah.
But I will tell you out of kayfabe here. Yeah, Char is a much weaker new type compared to Amuro and Lala, who are loosely matched based on what we can tell, right?
Right.
It seems, certainly, that Amuro quickly grew to the point where Lala was at, and so now they're both mega-psychics who can just kind of low-key talk to each other from distance.
It feels like the main difference is Lala knows what she is and can do things on purpose, whereas Amuro's is like, I don't know what the fuck's happening, I'm just guessing things very good.
It's a trope I see a lot in them animus, specifically what comes to mind, which I know will make no sense to you, but this is also for other people who exist too. Dio and Jotaro do this in their final fight, because Dio has a superpower that Jotaro doesn't have, and ends up, there's a whole thing there, and Jotaro discovers he has that power, and so there's...
Good job, Jotaro.
Yes.
I'm proud of you.
Go watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the rest of you. I'm talking about part 3.
Don't do it.
Do it. You'll understand me in particular.
No. So, back, so Char is like, all right, it looks like the wind is escaping. The air is being sucked out slower now. Make your way back to the Zanzibar.
Yeah, some collateral damage opened up Texas a little bit.
We gotta go.
We gotta get the fuck out of here.
We gotta fucking go.
We gotta bail.
So they do. Well, she does. She hops in her little buggy McScoop Scoot.
Yep.
And takes off. Back on White Base.
Yep.
We see. This is where I see Bright, and I'm like,
damn, Bright, your jaw square as hell.
I can see a sparkle in your dead eyes.
Yeah. Really pretty. I forget which part it's in. Oh, it's a little bit later when he's overhearing Sayla, but there's this profile shot of Bright where I'm like, that's a handsome green-haired young man right there.
Yeah.
What a handsome young man.
The animation on this one is definitely like, well, he talks about it a lot, but it's like, I just imagine every time that guy comes in and sees like what they've been doing, he's just like, oh, you guys. Come on.
Tomino just walks into the animation department again and is like, you really gotta make him this pretty the whole time, huh? The whole time? Alright, damn.
Anyways, everybody's worried about Amuro because he's still on Texas. And yes. I don't think anybody's heard from him because of Manovsky part of
the Yeah, Manovsky bullshit. Point is, they can't talk to Amuro. Mirai, Fraw is also visibly falling asleep in her seat.
Yeah, so I can't remember if this pays off or not. I know at some point they're like, okay, well, she's probably suffering from exhaustion or whatever.
It's in a little bit
out of it.
Yeah, she's visibly out of it as early as the first appearance in this episode.
Like, just blank stare at wall.
Yeah. And it's like, it's clear that it takes a second for information to process, too, because as they're all talking about how worried they are about Amuro, Bright asks Mirai what she thinks, Mirai still being canonically the second in command of this ship, as well as its pilot. Mm-hmm. Mirai replies that she's got faith in Amuro, then thinks he can pull through. Yeah. For some reason, Fraw takes this as weirdly callous?
Yeah, I think Fraw is shell-shocked a bit, and it's just, I don't know, I think she's a little jumbled, or maybe she's just that worried about Amuro. It feels weird because she just talked about to Amuro about how he's just paraphrasing, literally scares her.
Yes.
I don't know. She's a bit out.
She's not feeling great. It's pretty clear to see. And we're going to come back to that, but they start introducing it immediately, which is pretty neat. This is a very tight episode now that I'm actually thinking about it too.
Yes, this is. So that's what I was like when I was watching it. I was like, I think this is the most we are wasting a shitload of time because we're us, but this is the episode with the least amount of wasted time in it so far, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they're cutting to someone, they are reinforcing or setting up a new concept.
Yep.
Or telling, giving us information. The fight scene in this is pretty buck wild. We'll just get to that.
Yeah.
So we cut to Makuve's fleet, which I feel like is almost... you can't say it's Makuve's fleet anymore because Makuve's fucking dead.
The guys who were hanging out with Makuve and answering to him, but now that power gap has opened up due to a nuclear fucking explosion, completely eviscerating a man of indeterminate age and purple hair, like a punk.
You might say he is John Makuve.
This has been the last episode of Mobile Suit Fandom. I hope you won't join us for the next time that never comes. Goodbye.
Come back. Gyan with the wind. It was funny.
It was an adjective for certain.
Fuzzy.
So.
No, laugh at my joke, Fuzzy.
It's bad, though, and I can't allow my public persona to laugh at your bad pun jokes that I find actually funny.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Now I want to beat the shit out of you. So
okay, I've gone too far. I apologize. I take that one back.
Keep in mind, that's how I think of most of humanity, but I keep that inside, so...
Anyways, this is our first Melty Man, who is an actual man.
Yes, the captain is a rather static and slightly melty blue-haired gentleman. He looks kind of I don't know why, but I feel like I've seen him before, and I'm pretty sure...
Yeah, he looks like any of the other overweight Zeon commanders.
With blue hair.
With blue hair.
Like, did they get them in a set? Did they buy them in a six-pack at Costco?
I wonder if these are fucking... I love the idea that they're cloning generals, or admirals, or whatever, but they're
out of mediocrity?
Yeah! Because, like, obviously, like, not to body shame anybody, I'm of varying unhealthy shapes at various points in my life.
That dude looks like mediocrity given form and blue hair, like, and we all know it.
And so far, none of the Zeon commanders who look like him have actually been any good at anything.
No. Like,
so they're just cloning, like, these work.
Yeah, did Degwin just get 8 of them in a package on the bottom shelf at the back of Space Costco? Of Luna Costco? And just fucking be like, yeah, I'll take a bunch of these, fuck it. This can fill out my roster, I guess. No,
I don't understand. Our seats fit one butt shape.
And it's him. Everyone else is uncomfortable.
He does look very comfortable, though. He's very relaxed and laid back.
Literally the only other people who can become captains make their own chairs. All of them are skilled cushion upholsterers.
Chairsters.
Chairsters. Yeah, that's what it took me 3 times to get there too. I don't fucking upholsterer. I think that's the right one.
I think it's carpenter. I think carpenters make chairs.
But carpenter just makes the wooden chair. I was thinking of just like the seat aspect.
Oh, okay. Yeah, upholsterer. Tapestry's not the word.
Tapestry's definitely wrong.
Poultrier.
No, that's someone who turns people into edible birds, I think.
No, that's a cannibal. So...
That's just someone who eats people regular.
Alright, we have gotta stop.
Listen, you're challenging me with language, and that's literally what I'm going to school for. point is, this captain is like... No, we have to fucking play the waiting game. We just reinforce that despite spending 5 minutes on it. So, Amuro can't fucking find that blonde-haired bishy fucker in this sandstorm that's happening in Texas right now.
Yep. However, he does see the bungalow.
He does see the buggy that is carrying Lala because he's a magic psychic man. Yeah. Weird how that do.
And this is where Char pops up, like, me. Me. Shit.
What are you nyeing at?
Char jumps out from behind a rock.
You just got real quiet and went, nyeh.
What, that's Char's voice. I'm a master impersonator.
Yeah, it's spot on. I thought Char was in the
Char, this episode, Char was, you didn't know it, because y'all didn't, you know, they were just, y'all were sleeping on your jobs. Char was played by a rat man this episode. Care Bears!
So, Lala... Amuro can see Lala because psychic bullshit, and Char uses this opportunity to ambush Amuro because of course he does.
Also, he jumps out, because Amuro is a psychic, he senses it and ducks the shot to begin with, and hits his lightsaber, shoom. But Char's a fucking ninja? The Gelgoog is this giant-ass red robot, and by the time Amuro turns around, he's done the Batman.
Yep. just ollied the fuck out already, and he keeps doing this. Throughout this fight, the Gelgoog, I'm not sure what the fuck is up with the Gelgoog, but I'm pretty sure if Amuro got access to a Gelgoog, he would have won the war in a day. Because that suit's apparently fucking fantastic.
It has instant transmission.
It has, yeah, first of all, the suit's Goku.
First off, it gets stronger when you beat it.
Yeah.
Which is a sex move that doesn't actually work in real life.
Those of you who are interested in gentlemen but have not yet had an encounter with such a thing yet, don't beat that harder. Kick 13 the Beebus. So
that is Amuro fights the dust.
I guess. He uses his psychic powers to bullshit his way through the dust, yes. And by that, essentially what happens in this next bit is Amuro demonstrates that he has gone even further beyond where he last was.
Yeah. Even Char is like, what the fuck?
Yeah. He really is. Throughout this fight, Char's like, I used to be able to kick this dude's ass!
I used to fucking push this guy's face into a goddamn toilet and hit the flush button!
What happened?
At one point, fucking Amuro does a fucking front flip over the Gelgoog and stabs it in the hand.
Yep.
And then just hovers in the air for a few minutes and then goes down. Also, there's a few times where he hits a motherfucker with this bean saber. He hits the Gelgoog with this bean saber and it doesn't slice it in half.
I think that's because the Gelgoog is so well armored. I think okay, that's you its say shtick.
That? You say that to me, Fuzzy, to my face right now?
Yeah,
you said that to
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I do. I
this beam saber cuts fucking battleships in half.
It does cut battleships in twain. I don't know why the Gelgoog has better armor. The only other
explanation. Maybe it's made of lunar titanium.
It might be because it's out of Luna titanium. Remember, Gundanium doesn't exist in this series. Yeah, you fucking casual.
Casual.
haha, spoilers for 10 minutes. 10 minutes in the actual episode for us.
We'll get there in 7 hours.
For us, it'll be tomorrow.
Fucking listen to us at this point. Fucking...
Have you ever turned 20 minutes of content into 24 hours of content? Here on Mobile Suit Fan,
we could fucking do it.
We do alchemy.
That's going to be our extra life.
Explain Kukuru's Doan's Island for 24 hours.
If we ever get a lot of fans, if we ever get a lot of fans, like enough fans that make it to where we could do an extra live stream out of charity. That's gotta be it. We've gotta torture ourselves with the
Ghost. While also trying to beat a Gundam game at the same time.
Oh my god.
Just maximum I want to die.
We're just bleeding from the eyes. So, this fight scene, do we want to go blow for blow? There's another bit I can't remember.
The two important bits to me are, so you mentioned the first one with the flip and the arm hit. That makes the Gelgoog drop its gun, at which point the Gelgoog whips out the fun
sword?
The fun little fact that it was just carrying an actual sword
around.
A
literal fucking sword!
Now, here's the thing that really confuses me, Fuzzy, right? I own a Char Gelgoog toy, and in the box... It includes yellow jelly bits for the sabers, right?
Yeah.
Because so spoiler air quote, we're at this part of the fucking episode. The Gelgoog whips out a double-sided, and in the show, it looks like actual sword, like
a legit sword, metal sword.
Yeah, that is two saber blades doing a Darth Maul thing, right? And when I say saber, I mean like they are flat and widen out at a point. Not a saber, that's a cutlass. Except less curvy than a cutlass.
I think it's scimitar.
No, scimitars are curvy. Cutlasses don't have to be curvy, I think.
Okay.
But they do widen out at the top. I don't fucking know. I'm a nerd, not an actual nerd. Historian.
So that happens.
Yeah, oh, but the toy I had comes with, like, parts that indicate that those parts are beam, but they are not drawn like beam in, like, yellow beam saberness in the show. So where the fuck was he hiding real sword is what I'm trying to figure out.
I think this, I like that this is a prototype, and he, like, when he drew the swords, he fully expected them to be beam swords, but they were actually just spacers.
Shank.
Like, ching! What the fuck?
What the fuck? Now, Chris, real quick, I want you to go, so you're surprised Char pulled out a real sword, right?
I'm surprised he did it in a Gundam. Like, Char himself, I could definitely imagine having swords.
I want you to take the words you just said and put them in your back pocket again.
Okay, alright, they're there.
I'm setting... so much happens in the last two fucking episodes!
I think you've hinted this to me before, and, like, because I feel like I've always imagined Char sword fighting someone.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they did set up this particular Chekhov gun in the first episode, because canonically Char carries two things all the fucking time.
Yeah.
A sword and a gun. All the time.
Yeah. So,
no other Zeon person carries a sword, by the way. I've been keeping track. Char alone carries a fucking sword. Also, Char does love you, yes.
Char alone loves you.
So, Gelgoog whips out his Darth Maul saber and starts going at Amuro, who, like, does... There's one part where he keeps stabbing the ground to try to stab Amuro's head, but the Gundam just keeps rolling to the left, and this scene continues for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But like, full seconds.
Mississippi's and all.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, Char is like, well, this fucking blows. And, like, I need to leave.
Yeah, so he just kind of, like, real quick slaps Amuro and is like, nyeh! And then jumps away and just ollies out immediately. Yeah. You'll never catch me this time, Batman! Fucking Joker's away.
Yeah. And Amuro's gonna chase him, but he's out of chest power.
Yeah, which is my other theory as to why the beam saber hits weren't slicing, because Amuro was really low on energy, and that beam saber power probably doesn't come from the beam saber itself.
I think you're giving... Okay, I'll...
Well, okay, I have evidence for this, and that is, in 8th MS Team, there's a couple of clear shots where Gundams and GMs, when they grab weapons, it actually canonizes the little nubba-trub on Gundam plastic hands, on the Gunpla hands. That little nubba-trub that goes into the weapons and stuff to hold them properly on the model kit, right?
Yeah.
That actually exists, and it's how energy is transferred from the Gundam's nuclear reactor into the beam saber to turn on the beam.
Okay, Fuzzy, I'm gonna let you have this, but I definitely think you're giving them way too much credit.
They definitely, that's absolutely a retcon that they thought up in 8th MS Team at the earliest, as far as I know, but... Yeah. It's a fucking cool one I wanted to mention now, that's apparently how this shit works all the time, and that's cool as fuck.
Because it wouldn't make sense for him to run out of ammo and then pick up the fucking heat javelin or whatever, right. And then use it. Because it would still need his stupid soul energy. Anyways. Yeah.
Weapon energy.
Yeah, what did I say?
So... Yeah, Amuro runs out of energy, does proceed to run out of energy and can't jump after Char, but then he sees this big fucking explosion happen, and he's like, oh, I must have got him. Of course he didn't get them, because we immediately cut over to Char, who's like, ha-ha, he totally bought that asshole. And he runs off. I don't know why Char is a comical 60s mustache-twirling villain this episode, but he is.
So, I think either I'm misremembering, or this was a major difference between the English and the subtitles.
Yeah.
Because
what does he do
in here? Mine... Amuro was immediately like, that wasn't Char. That couldn't have been Char. And then when it cuts to Char, he was like, I bet that didn't fool Amuro.
Did he actually say Amuro?
Or not even Amuro, or that, okay, that Federation the pilot soldier. What? Yeah.
In the Japanese, Amuro kind of buys it.
Hmm. I know, and I think that makes a lot more sense, because later, Amuro is, like, sorting through the fake bomb.
Right.
Like, oh, look, these parts, this is definitely not right. So, yeah, I guess the dub was just, someone had an aneurysm or something that day.
Weird. True. We now see a Fetty ship enter the fray, and we meet a fellow you should recognize, but I didn't until someone said his name. It's Commandant Joaquin again.
Oh, our stone friend!
Yeah! It's your boy Joaquin.
Oh, now
Joaquin
I'm sad.
Again. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't catch that until that happened too. Yeah, that's the first time they say his name, and I didn't recognize him because it's been a few weeks.
Oh man! Like I was like, okay, I guess this is sad, but now I'm sad.
Yeah, now you're actually sad because you know who that is. You know what the stakes were. Spoiler alert: he fucking
he never
dies.
Hit Mirai. Yeah, no, it's bad. He's Sam. Anyways.
Joaquin and his Magellan pop into the place, and
Magellan like a felon.
Yeah. In the Japanese, I noticed that apparently they get a little transmission from White Base, but they then never address it ever again, so I'm not sure what to make of that, if I misunderstood something. But, the Magellan comes in, Joaquin gets a read on the situation, and is like, well, I see White Base and a bunch of Zeon guys, so, bang, 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 bang! just starts going after the nearest Zeon fellow. It's the rear guard. I think we saw him last episode. He looked vaguely familiar, and also had blue hair. different look, though. This guy was
he was an earlier model.
He was an earlier model. Yeah, he was a much lankier format.
They didn't leave him in the tube long enough.
Didn't leave him in the tube long enough. Also had a little goatee and mustache deal. I wasn't a fan of his look.
Mm.
Yeah, they should have thrown him back in. let him go a little bit longer.
The captain orders retreat for the Zeons.
Yeah, captain sees, okay, my rear guard's getting themselves fucked. White Base proceeds to take this opportunity to start shooting at him, too, and so he's like, let's go.
So the idea is they're waiting for reinforcements, right?
They were waiting for something, I think, just anything. And,
not this, apparently.
Not this. This was the bad option.
Oh.
So, Bright proceeds to order everyone start shooting, and also John Job get in the gun cannon and the gun tank, and Sayla get in the G-Fighter and fucking get out of here. Go fuck things up.
I've always wondered why you call him by his full name, John Job.
Yeah.
Because And again, I'm not the world's most observant human being, but I don't think I've ever heard them call him John Job, or I've always heard them call him Job, or Job, whatever. Huh. This episode was the first time I heard him say John Job, and it blew my fucking mind. Because I thought that was just what you called him.
No.
Fuzzy's infiltrated the show.
No, that's what he's actually named, and they call him by his full name in the Japanese every time. It's John Job, which makes me think that that's like his first name and he has a different last name, you know?
Oh, I like that. His first name's John, last name Job.
and so everyone just calls him John Job.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because his name's John. How many fucking Johns are there?
None!
True.
Like, zero!
Say lunch.
He's the only one we've met! So it's a non-issue on Whitebase. Why do they call him his full name every time?
So Sayla attacks this fucking fleet guy, right?
And devastates them.
Fucks their world up. At one point they're like, are they attacking with one fighter? And then like a few seconds go by and he's like, oh shit! Yeah. Like, and she blows him up with her. Like, I love Sayla. We love this. I love Sayla. I wish they gave her. Just put her in a core fighter, because this thing's dumb.
Well, remember, in the movie, they do replace the G fighter with a core fighter module that does just turn the core fighter into a bigger, cooler fighter jet, yeah, basically.
Gives it a bigger butt.
Yeah. Everyone pretty much agrees with you, and everyone's like, yeah, that's the better version of this by far. Sayla kicks ass, man.
Sayla, like, she's just, like, futzing around, shooting at them or whatever, and then pulls out her target computer and blows up one of the major ships.
Yep, by herself.
With just cannons, too. No missiles or anything, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
man. Just her main guns.
Sayla don't fuck around.
And then Bright's like, oh shit, they're fucking making us look like chumps.
We can't make us look like punk bitches. Holy shit. Fire everything.
Yeah.
And they do. They fire every single missile and cannon on Whitebase, and needless to
guess
say,
what? It works.
Yeah. So between Sayla and Whitebase firing everything, both ships are reduced to a fine pink mist.
Yep.
Mirai proceeds to remark that it sure can be frightening what can happen when the momentum of battle changes, and I would say accurate assessment, Mirai.
Yeah, because like 30 seconds ago, Whitebase wouldn't move because they were afraid of being destroyed, and then as soon as Joaquin shows up, they decimate the enemies. Yeah.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Joaquin
finally calls.
Is what up, you?
Yeah. Bright gets word that Magellan shows up and is pretty happy to see him. Bright proceeds to bring Whitebase into Texas to find
Amuro.
Yeah,
what was the reason? It was just to find... Okay.
It was pretty much to find Amuro, yeah.
I forgot... I didn't realize how fucking big that space station slash whatever is.
It's a colony.
It's a colony that... And I should have understood that because... Whitebase was originally inside of a colony. So these colonies are so fucking huge. And they dropped one...
On Australia. On
Australia!
Yeah.
Half.
Half.
It's been a while, man.
I really want to emphasize... Half.
So yeah, they literally just drive the Trojan horse into Texas. And then... Cha!
Yeah, then we cut to McGregor Marshall.
Yeah. So we don't have any new iTunes reviews, so you all have to go check out Cerebros. It's my X-Men Evolution Rewatch podcast. By the time y'all hear this, we'll definitely have posted our recap of X-Men First Class and started on season 2 of X-Men Evolution. And Fuzzy is Grimdork still happening?
Yes. Okay. I'm just still very bad at editing and still depressed. That's just it'd be that way.
Depression has hit the crew hard lately. Y'all.
Yes, it's that most wonderful time of the year where everyone wants to fucking die.
I don't want to die. I just want to have never existed.
Big fucking mood though. Remember, everyone, you're not alone. And that's not me just saying platitudes. We're all in this together. Kumbaya, my lord. So, no, but really, though.
Check out Grimdorks.
Check out also Grimdorks. Before we completely move off of Cerebros, have you seen the artist Francis Xi or Xi on Twitter?
I don't think so.
He does art that's so fucking good and looks actually like a published comic book that I'm like, oh, Kurt and Logan are just actually dating now. No, that's fan art.
How do you spell that last name?
On the Twitter handle is XIE, is how he goes by on there. Francis, and that's with an I, not an E.
XIE. Okay, I just wanted to write that shit down.
No, of course.
We do have some chaws this week.
Give us a couple of choice chaws.
So they're leftover chaws from last week, just because Gangle Saxon was nice enough to send 7,000. So I saved some for this week, just in case this happened, which is where no one else sent us any, because it jerks that hate us.
It's true.
And I'll be honest, you're probably going to have to help me out for most of these.
I will.
This first one's fine. Could Rombaral and his trademark goof beat Char and his trademark Ulaco 2 in a duel on Earth? And before you, because you obviously have the expert opinion and can yes, say no to please. Whatever, say, I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
No. Right. Because Char has fucking protagonist armor. Like, we've seen, also Char will fucking run.
That is also true.
So, I don't know, I don't think Rombaral can kill Char.
I also don't think Rombaral can kill Char, but there are 18 other reasons in there. In that, assuming we exist in a world where Rombaral, for some reason, has begun to hate Char, because we now have reasons why he would never do that, this episode we learned that, we just haven't gotten to it yet. I don't think in a world where they hated each other but still had the same skill set, I still think Ramba loses, and my evidence for that is Gundam Build Fighters.
Because
the Char clone is canonically stronger than Ramba Ral's Valhallan reincarnation.
Yeah.
And that's my entire reasoning.
So that's it. And there's no arguing. We are the foremost expert on all things Gundam. At least you like 0079 at this point. So this one I feel I am the expert on.
Yeah.
It's this, do Bright's nipples compare in power to Degwin Zabi's monster dong? No, they do not.
They do not.
All of Bright's power is in the back of one of his hands. There's none left for his nipples.
No.
And even then, the monster dong is life. It's us.
It is literally Yggdrasil.
It's the dick of life. It holds
up the nine realms.
And okay, that's it. Because I realized that I've already asked you about the third one, and neither of us know what the fuck he's talking about.
Okay, cool. So,
that's it. Do you have anything else you want for the chaw section?
Not currently, no.
Chaw!
So we come back to White Base finishing landing. That's all that fucking happens. I still don't know who Omer is, or I've forgotten again. I don't either. But he keeps getting sent places.
I also, I heard that, and I'm like, who the fuck is that? And I looked at the screen and didn't see anybody. Nope. So I went back to folding clothes, and then looked back up, and then he's still, I'm like, well, I don't see him anywhere. Maybe I missed him? They never show him?
Nope.
Who the fuck is Omer?
I don't know! I don't fucking know.
It must be the other guy in the no, because those are navigators. They need to stay up there.
I don't.
Who the fuck is Omer?
I don't maybe fucking know.
No, we know the guy. It's not the guy who was, very helpful but looked like he was pissed off constantly at Slegger. We know his name was something else. I don't know who the fuck Omer is. Anyways.
He's not good enough to even have a wiki page, so...
Aww.
Clearly, and a lot of people have wiki pages. I want that to be clear. Like, Job John has a wiki page.
Yeah, well, okay, fuck off. Job John is a core character.
Joaquin has important. A wiki page.
Alright, well...
Jim Burrell, who is mentioned just now, has a dick... To be fair, Jim Burrell becomes a much more important character later, okay. And I'm absolutely burying the lead.
By the way, this blew my, like, I, okay.
Hold on, we're about to get there. We are a pube away. The breadth.
Oh, man. So, fucking, alright, Kai goes on patrols.
Yeah, so Omer, Sayla, and John Job go in buggies to find Amuro. Kai runs patrols in the cannon. Fra is spacing out more, like a weirdo. Bright is dissatisfied at having to repeat himself, but also visibly worried, because he does give a shit. JJ calls White Base after almost getting stampeded by a bunch of longhorns. Bright...
Because why not? Yeah. Why wouldn't there be longhorns in space, Texas?
Frog keeps not responding on time, and so Bright's like, why don't you go check on Hayato? That's an order. Go. Clearly with the, like, get off the bridge and take a fucking break. You're exhausted. At least it was pretty clear in the Japanese for that read.
So I don't remember where it happens, because I think they cut away and cut back at some point. But yeah. When they cut back to the screen, when someone asks why Fra, like, where's Fra at or whatever, like, they're all kind of having, like, a bit of a, as Bright is realizing, like, all of his staff are pretty fried.
Yeah.
And we the way we see this is Mariah's having a snack pack drink.
Yeah, they have that here, too.
Some nice, refreshing, like, little...
I need some fucking royal jelly, sun. Jesus fuck. Oh.
It's real cute.
Yeah.
Because she has fishy face.
That's good shit.
Anyways, where the fuck?
Fra exits stage left, and Bright puts on the calm headset. This is important. Char, naturally, right. But being himself... plot armors himself into finding Sayla first. Sayla calls Whitebase to report that she hasn't found any trouble, and Char jumps in her buggy and is like, hey!
She goes, Casval! And freaking Bright's like, ooh.
Who? A worm?
What's going on?
So, point being here, Bright can hear this whole conversation happen.
I think he hears just both Sayla's side.
Nope, he hears both sides. Okay. Yep, he mentions that voice. That voice.
And because he has Bishy face in this, his eyes are, like, he is very serious and contemplative.
He
does.
He's very consternated.
There's basically, like... Glow flies in the background as he's thinking.
A little bit, yeah. So, Bright reacts, and Mirai reacts to Bright reacting to something like, you good, home slice?
Yeah.
They're about to hear fucking everything.
Yeah.
So,
okay,
this conversation, much like this conversation, much like the fight scenes, is so wide and over a breadth that to go beat by beat would... bring us 90 minutes on just this conversation. Especially because of us. So, the essentials. Char, throughout this, they have this recurring theme of, you know, you should quit. No, you should quit. No, you should quit. Repeatedly. They go through a round of this before Char asks Artesia if she remembers what Jim Burrell used to tell them.
Which is where fucking Chris was like, I know that. What? I know that surname.
I know that surname. specifically...
Who's this?
Yeah, right? So, specifically, this is just after Artesia goes, oh, so you're just in this to get revenge on the Zombies. To which Casval responds, that's not the whole thing. Remember what Jimba told us. And we flashback. we learn that Zeon Sumdaekun, the man who invented Zeon and originally declared its independence, knew ahead of time that new types were coming. He seemed aware that these Ubermensch, essentially, let's not mince here, this is a World War II recreation after all. Apparently, Zeon saw the new type Ubermensch on the horizon here, and started Zeon with the intention of protecting them. His thought being that they would get persecuted because they're new and different.
Yeah.
They're new, they're funky, they're fresh. He proceeds to... Zeon, the man, proceeds to quickly start dying, and he calls Degwin over, his most trusted advisor. He whispers something to him. Jimba, of course, knows that this is Zeon calling Degwin out for fucking murdering him, and that he totally knew it was him who assassinated him. Yeah. Degwin, of course, uses this opportunity to put words in Zeon's mouth and say, oh, Zeon wants me to be the new prime minister of Zeon. And of everything course. Proceeds to clusterfuck into the principality of Zeon we end up with.
Yeah.
Jimba was essentially the seneschal. I don't know if that's a real word, actually. The second in command of... Zeon of House Daekun, Zeon's royal family. Jimba successfully got Cassival and Artesia out to a fake family on Earth where they were able to grow up.
Right.
We cut back, and Cassival's lamenting that these things happened, but it's not just that aspect anymore. Cassival knows that new types are here. Artesia.
Right. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to pause and go back, so finish your thought, train of thought.
Oh, Artesia asks him if it's about Amuro. Bright is confusion about this, and everyone talking about new types all the time. It's at this point I very purposefully change back to using Char as his name. Ain't happy that a new type is an enemy, but oh well. Apparently new types are the rough Ubermensch in this universe, and that's about the point in this conversation I realized it. They go through the same quit dance as always, until Char ends it with, "You must know why I wear the mask. It's because I threw away my past and all that was behind me."
This is where I message Fuzzy, like, Char is an angsty bitch.
Yeah, he is. Char asks to see Artesia's face once more. She complies and removes her helmet mask.
She gets sand all up in her stuff.
Oh, so much. He asks her to leave White Base, and Ollie's out. She chases after him for a bit, and Bright decides that this is the point he has heard too much, and hangs up the call, before lying to Mirai that he ain't heard shit and just heard static. Despite the fact he is visibly wilded out, Sayla proceeds to weep for her brother.
Right. So, real quick, let's process this.
Right.
First off, through hints, I've come to, expect that, like, Char was a prince or something. Not prince, specifically, but, like, some sort of rich, wealthy...
Right.
Noble that was out of power. I did not realize he was a Zeon.
He is the rightful heir, by all accounts.
Which means Sayla is. It also means that they were raised on Earth, and they were still raised as brother and sister. I'm assuming under the names... Char and Sayla as children to hide their identities?
We're not really sure.
They still call each other Cassival and Artesia.
From what I'm picking up just based off this series, I also don't remember the real reason. I'm pretty sure Char and Sayla picked those names after growing up. Okay. And it seems like Char took the name Char... after becoming a loyalist Zeon member again, you know?
Yeah.
And then rose through the ranks that way to become the Red Comet he became.
I have a controversial opinion.
Hit me.
I think Sayla picked a better name for herself. Sayla Mass is a cooler name than Char as Nabel.
I mean, hear me out, though. Okay. Sayla as Nabel would be a kick-ass name, and Char Mass would be a objectively worse name.
I don't know why we're doing this. Also, Sayla Mass is much better than Sayla as Nabel.
I like Sayla as Nabel more, actually, no, but I'm Sayla big on Mass. The fancy.
It's just three good syllables. Like, I don't know. Like, as Nabel has, like, a weird stop in the middle. I don't know. I don't like it.
You have aesthetic linguistic preferences. I get that. That happens.
No, I'm objectively correct, sir.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure they picked those names later, and I think they had different names when they were youths. Either way, yeah. I can promise you we will find out more about this when we get all the fucking way to 2014's Gundam the Origin series.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah, we have to get all the way to 2014 happen. First. And so, we are still in 1979.
Whew.
Hey, we're quickly rounding the corner into 1980.
I'm also... Okay, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But you I'm are. Assuming... The series is a little shorter, at least some of them, right? They're not all fucking 45 episodes long, are they? Oh, no.
Zeta is 50-something episodes.
Jesus, Zeta, why are you doing this to me?
Double Zeta's, like, 30-something, I think.
Okay.
I forget what comes right after that. Wing is at least 40.
Wing is not 40.
I think Wing is...
Is Wing 40?
I think Gundam Wing is a multiple season adventure, man. I don't know.
Oh, we're gonna... Guys, strap in. I hope
it's got 49 episodes at least. Yeah,
you and I are gonna be here for decades.
Yeah, Gundam Wing has 49 episodes.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
So... Fuck. Anyways, I think
episode 30 of Gundam Wing came out on my birthday. Fun fact.
Dope. Do they tell us like what the situation between Ramba and like is Ramba
Jimba is Ramba's dad? Yeah.
Okay, but Ramba is a good deal older than Castle and them, so I imagine like.
Well, keep in mind, we get a flashback when Sayla meets Ramba of Ramba picking her up on his shoulders.
Oh, right. I forgot about this. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, that explains a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
And they go into this a little bit more within Gundam the Origin, the manga, where, yeah, it's pretty clear that Jimba was the... This flashback happens a bit earlier and is much longer in the manga, and it goes pretty... It's pretty clear about, yeah, these two had to ollie the fuck out really fast when this went down. Yeah. And it really sucked. It was really rough on them. Cassival, however, has always been in this kind of zone. When he was younger, he was much angstier and much more firebrandy. He always was sticking up to any kind of power structure. Big asshole kid. Big asshole energy. Something that he carried into his future.
Yeah, it's completely out of character. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's a whole thing. It's some crazy shit. I feel real bad for these two.
Yeah.
It's some rough shit having your family murdered by a power-hungry dude who proceeds to turn your, for the record, Democratic Republic colony into a principality. Yeah, that's what happens on Zeon. They go, full what?
Nazi.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing that we skipped over is And I'm not sure if maybe I misheard, or maybe the mistranslation, or maybe they actually said this. But when Sayla and Char are talking about new types, he says something like they didn't expect the new types to escape or something. And he used the term new types have escaped.
Weird. I think that's a translation weird thing. It's funny because this is a word I understood. He says that the new types have come or have arrived, rather.
Right. So he doesn't know that he's a new type, though.
I think he knows he's a new type.
Okay.
I don't think he knows if Sayla is or isn't.
Does Sayla know she is?
I don't know if she knows.
Yeah, she doesn't. She's never made any like allusions to knowing.
Right, but she is. She barely started piloting, and she's already taking out battleships on her own. A level of skill and quick upgrading we have seen in exactly one other person. And, yeah. Oh, I wonder what his name is. No, the other one. His name's also Daekoon. It's Char.
Z-O!
Sayla weeps because in many ways this scene is for her nailing the coffin on Cassville, that guy no longer exists. It's only Char. Yeah. He also,
she's gonna have to murder him.
Yeah, the other of note thing he mentions is that he will happily pay her and give her any amount of money to just go to Earth and live out the rest of her days and just ignore this.
He doesn't want, because he knows he's going to have to blow up White Base, he doesn't want to kill her.
Yes. White Base, skipping a paragraph. Amuro can see that Gundam broke and proceeds to spot a White Base buggy. It's Sayla. Clearly some time passes. Bright, is about to send the gun parry until they get another message and learn that the Zanzibar is leaving the other end of Texas. It's Char Zanzibar. So he belays that order and says, fuck it, we're going to get through Texas as fast as possible and come out the other side to chase after the Zanzibar.
And this is where, like, kind of a terrifying and horrible thing happens. Char is told that there's a single Magellan in their way. And he's like, oh, just a Magellan? Let's blow it up.
A little bit.
And now I'm even more sad because I know who's on that. Our good stoner boy.
My good friend Joaquin. Shortly before that, though, Lala does notice that Char is off and asks him about it, to which he responds, never talk to me about it ever again.
Yeah, it's real aggressive.
Yeah. Like, he shuts it the fuck down.
Yeah. Char's a bit of a dick about this.
He's a little bit of a dick about it, yeah.
Surprising absolutely no one.
Surprising no one. Admittedly, rather raw and fresh subject. I think he's allowed a little bit of space here.
I guess.
just to be polite. But going straight, never fucking bring that up to me ever again.
It's real aggressive. And like, the thing is, Lala's, it's not like Lala's a, like, on annoying or mischievous character, right. Like, who's, like, egging him constantly. Like, literally the entirety it would take would be like, I don't want to talk about it. Right. And she would, I've gotten the feeling from Lala, she's just like,
okay. alright, chill.
We should probably float off somewhere, you know?
Just casually. Bye!
Well, I thought we had gravity here. Don't look at her.
Right. So, Bright, they proceed to pass by, grab Amuro, all this shit, right?
Right.
Char encounters the Magellan and they start fighting. White Base is trying to get out of Texas, but they notice something floating in the exit bay, and so they have Kai go, poke it with a stick to see if it explodes. It doesn't, and he's like, it's just a box with a note on it. John Job goes and gets it and brings it back in, and learns that it's a briefcase with a note for Sayla on it.
Yep.
Weird.
It's cool, it's fine.
White Base... Normal. We cut back briefly to the Magellan visibly getting its shit kicked in. And then we go back to White Base, go through a little bit more, and they emerge Texas, and it's clear, based on crew reactions, that Joaquin and his Magellan are dead as fuck.
Yeah, everybody's horrified. They give us a shot of it, it's like... It's in pieces.
Yeah, it's super devastated. Bright, especially, is broken up about it, and tears up and gives, like, a noble salute to his fallen comrade.
Yeah.
Him, gotta, but way more chill.
Yeah, it's gotta especially suck since, as far as I can tell, the White Base didn't actually need to go in there.
Well, they needed to get Amuro, and that was about it.
Yeah, but I mean, they kind of rushed in.
Yeah.
They could have hung out there and, like, sent in a scouting party or something. Yeah, or a gun parry or something. Yeah. I don't know, can a gun parry fly? Gun parries can't go in space.
I don't think so.
So, yeah, because they have propellers.
Yep.
But
it could have operated fine inside, so, like...
Yeah, they could have gone in and pooped it out and then went back outside.
Yeah.
But they left that Magellan unguarded, and now it got fucking wasted by the Zanzibar.
Yep. White Base proceeds to leave, because not much use sticking around.
Nope.
Bright calls Sayla to a private room to have the talk they should really have.
Uh-huh.
He of course has some questions.
Yeah, this is where we found out Bright really, like, Bright's not really... A military guy. He is a military guy, but he regularly, like, does not follow military protocol.
Yeah, I think this scene is really good for humanizing Bright, actually.
No, definitely,
and
yeah.
And make it be like, look, he may be middle management, but do not think he does not care.
Yeah, this is a recurring thing of him getting a little too involved.
Yes.
On a personal level. Which is, I think it's good. I think it's, it shows that he's, like, not the piece of shit. He's trying to be a piece of shit asshole officer, but he's really not.
He's not.
Yeah, he's bad at it.
Yeah.
He's in love with his helmsman.
Yeah.
He's basically adopted Amuro as his little brother.
Yeah.
Kai's his shitty cousin.
I don't care. Cares a whole lot.
Yeah.
Just can't stop. He asks the questions we would expect, like what's in this briefcase? I could open it, but yeah. I want you to try to tell me first, because this is addressed to you.
Yeah.
And I'll admit I heard what happened on the phone. What's going on?
And she says it's full of gold.
Char.
Like, it's from Char Aznavel. She doesn't say Castle Daekun.
She said it's full of gold, and it's from Char Aznavel, the Red Comet.
Yeah. To which he is like,
oh.
Big Sam. Oh, sorry.
All I was going to say was I'm pretty sure this is the moment Bright puts everything together himself and goes, oh,
I think he definitely like is like, oh shit, Sayla and Char are related.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knows, because he doesn't seem to recognize the name Artesia or anything.
I don't think he knows enough about Zeon history to be like, okay, this shit.
Yeah.
Who knows? But also keep in mind that Char did not narrate the Jim Baral flashback. Narrator narrated that flashback, which makes me think Char and Sayla just silently shared a moment and knew what they were talking about.
They just stared at each other completely silent the entire time.
Yeah, you know, like anyone does when they're off screen. If you don't make your characters move when they're off screen, we assume they stayed perfectly still and no time passed. Mm-hmm. Always remember that. Mm-hmm. That's just a good thing to keep in mind for continuity's sake.
Yeah. Also, spoiler alert.
It's super full of gold, and it is from Charia.
Yeah. But all so the letter to her, using her actual name.
Yes.
And we find out their middle names, and I don't know if these Roms and Rims. What's the Zeon middle name thing?
I don't fucking know.
No. What's his full name? What's Zeon's full name?
Zeon Sumdekun.
Sumdekun. Okay, so it's not like a gendered thing.
I don't. Yeah.
But they all have a 3-letter middle name bit, which may not be an actual middle name. It might be like a thingy. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't fucking know, man.
Okay, cool. Don't be so fucking aggressive with these.
Fucking get jump off my nuts!
Okay!
So, yeah, Bright leaves and lets Sayla pop open that letter herself. It is addressed to Artesia Rom Dekun, and it says, "Here is something to so you will live a happy life. From, with love, from Casval Rem Dekun." She reads it, and she cries. Again. Mm-hmm. The narrator steps in once again for Artesia. She recalls always calling to Casval's back, and sometimes he would turn around till it happened less and less, and she wonders that it won't happen anymore, will it? She cries into the pillow, and we fade out as this episode we learn indeed two important named characters died, Joaquin and the boy, Casval.
Yeah. I feel real bad for Sayla. Like,
yeah, man.
Sayla, really... correct me if I'm wrong, did she join the Federation? Do they have the same goal, or did she join the Federation to find him?
I don't... It seems to me she joined to, I don't actually know. Why did the fuck she join?
I don't remember.
I don't have no, an immediate maybe answer. There.
I definitely get the feeling like she's here to topple I think it's the latter. I think she's here to whatever one I said. I think she's here to topple the Zabi family.
She just happened to be on side 7 and was a refugee.
Oh right, she's a citizen.
Yeah, she was just a regular. Right? She was a schmuck who
keep
joined
fucking
up.
Fucking forgetting that all these people are not military.
Yeah.
Oh, these children. Oh, I feel so bad for them. Wow, what a coincidence then. Jeez.
Yep. So...
We're back to this being a good show, by the way. If those yes. keep track,
yes.
I have hated this show for a little while now, and I'm back to being like, this is a pretty good show.
So, real quick, I want to kind of run through... some weird things about how the novelization of this goes, because especially because this is a Sayla heavy episode, I figured this would be a good moment.
Okay.
So, for your reference, and for the audience's reference too, because I only recently learned about this stuff, and I'm sure someone will tweet at me, eventually. So, after Gundam came out, Tomino wrote a novel based on Gundam. In fact, it was technically coming out sort of at the same time. Like, I think it came out just afterwards. Point is, many people consider it to be how Tomino would have done Gundam if left to his own devices.
So this is Amuro's fucking dead.
Yeah, at the end, Amuro dies in the final battle. Gets mega dunked. All a whole bunch. It's way more tragic, but during that, a lot of other relationships are kind of punched up. Amongst them, Amuro and Sayla. In the novelization, apparently they have a romance, and yes. Shortly after this part that we've just covered, Amuro asks Sayla out to dinner, while they were at side 6, this happens. Amuro asks Sayla out to dinner. They eat and chat, discuss what it's like to be new types, and then later, Sayla pays Amuro a visit after hours, and exactly what you think happens, happens. Yeah, whoever lives on the other side of that wall did not like them. I'm going to assume it's John Job, because it's funny to me. Let's bully John Job.
I love John Job and his weirdly aggressive bathroom guard policy.
Right. Yeah, so they end up having a hell of a romantic relationship over the course of the novelization, which in this makes no sense to me.
No.
They don't set that up at all in this show, but apparently that's something Tomino had in mind.
Yeah, they romance is something they like
just they're not great at.
No, they kind of like sometimes allude that romance exists, but most of the time it's like, we should have had a romance, but it probably should have started like 7 episodes ago, but. We need it to culminate in this one.
In
so,
this one, yeah.
These two have been in love.
I guess.
I may be wrong, but I seem to remember like Frau having a crush on Amuro, or they're yeah. like, okay,
now,
which is gone now.
Yes, it's super gone at this stage.
I think there's still a relationship there, obviously.
Well,
she cares about him.
The way, especially when I was younger, and even now, just watching it, to me, they read a lot as, like, they were the two who everyone was pretty sure were going to be dating by the end of the semester.
Yeah.
In class, but then the Fire Nation fucking attacked. And shit got a little wild, and over the course of that, the boy discovered he was a psychic warrior from the space future, and the girl discovered he killed a lot of people.
Yeah. I still care about you, Amuro, but...
But woof.
I've heard you masturbate, and when you finish, you hear the screams of 1,000 fallen soldiers. So I don't think I can live with that in my sex life.
I don't know if I can deal with that, my guy. That's a lot.
Yeah, this was a good episode.
This was a really fucking good episode. I'm a big fan of it, and
yeah,
it gives a lot of really tasty backstory shit. It's got. It clears up a lot of why you should hate Degwin, because he murdered his way into this job and then became Space Hitler.
It definitely makes more allusions to like the rise of the Nazi Party in Germany or whatever.
Yeah,
and also makes more sense of like how that. Power shift came to be.
Right.
And like and makes gives you the whole thing of like the citizens of Zeon are probably not the worst, maybe?
I wasn't reading that much into it, I'll be entirely honest.
Because it was like a normal ass nation, like any other nation.
If I remember correctly, and I think they go into this in other series, particularly Origin and Unicorn, I think, if I remember my UC correctly, they talk more about, like, what Zeon's version of Zeon looked like, and I believe it was originally a democratic republic that...
Yeah.
Kind of had its shit largely figured out until then the charismatic leader of independence died, and then it all kind of went to shit really fast.
And just a little reminder, everybody, that nationalism sucks and you shouldn't do it.
Big surprise. Shocking news. Shocking news from the Western Front!
You would think.
Nazi bad!
But look at every. Anyways,
wrong front. Shit.
Yeah, let me. Been,
what would be the Eastern
Front? No, I was quite along the Western Front. What do you mean?
For America, did they refer to Europe as the Western Front or the Eastern
Western,
Front?
The Western Front and the Eastern Front were all in Europe, I believe.
Okay.
Because one was fighting Russia and one was fighting the UK and the other Allied forces. Anyways. Yell at me!
Right. Fuck all that, though. Next time on Mobile Suit Fandom, war gets freaky, and by that I mean we lean real heavy on new type bullshit. The bra also, bro comes back. It's a whole fucking thing.
Also, Lala's in a very dumb looking
space. Lala's in a very large space suit that I think they're going for like a great sage thing, but instead it looks like they gave Lala her eldest sibling space suit. It's comical and looks very strange. We get a lot of new type bullshit, and honestly, we need to have some talks about what jumping the shark is, Tomino, because next time, the new type, Chalia Bull. Will you be able to survive? No, we don't know who that guy is yet. He's introduced next episode. Spoiler alert, he don't last fucking long. Not a lot of hype for him. I don't know why he exists already. And I've known about him for a little bit. Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 38 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you actually like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Or you can email us at MobileSuitFandom@gmail.com. It's hard to say at and then an email address, immediately followed by an at in the middle. Who'd have thunk? Also, if you're new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows and movies, legally, for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember. Where the fuck did Char keep all that gold? Like, really, where'd he get it from? He had a briefcase full of solid gold bars he could yeet out of his fucking window and just go? Who has that kind of disposable wealth? My point is, I'm going to Black Widow Char. Bye!